It's gonna be one of those. Oh, it's gonna be one of those weeks, right?
Yeah. Yep. All right. Starting off strong. Starting off strong.
How are we doing today, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm not bad, man.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm gonna make a public service announcement that moving away from Windstream and going to Google Fiber.
Okay.
That is definitely happening because internet has been less than stellar in my household. So just for me, it's not a public stance. Excuse me. You see that there? Windstream is even making me sick. Wow. I got to get rid of this stuff.
Dang.
Bro, how was your weekend?
Oh, it was not too crazy, man. Just chilling around the house. Had a little bit long weekend. Had a holiday Friday for Good Friday. And other than that, just been around the house.
Good deal. Good deal, man.
Yeah.
I finally did something that I was tasked into doing. Actually happened yesterday. Before I went to go see our MOW.
Right.
I watched something else. And that something else was a little old art house horror film on Peacock.
Mm-hmm.
Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Did you, you saw there's going to be a second one, right?
There's already a second one out right now. That's why I finally watched
it. Is it out already?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I didn't know it was out already.
Some guys on the tube you has I've already did their reviews. So have you watched have you watched it yet?
I watched the first one.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. So like I went in this movie thinking it's going to be absolutely trash. There's nothing going to be good about it. It's going to be worse than Llamageddon. But this movie ended up making $5.2 million at the box office. And like we just said, the sequel was just released. Like, what the hell is happening in cinema these days? Like
yeah, when I
like,
watched it, when I watched it, for me, it was like a, I just couldn't stop. Like, no matter how, like, terrible something looked, I just had to keep watching it. But it was more entertaining. It was entertaining. It wasn't, like, a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
But just the way that it's put together is like entertaining, right? I don't really know a better word. Because I'm not going to say it was a super fantastic movie. It's just an entertaining movie. Yeah.
Well, you know, remember the Oscars, the guy who won best screenplay, he was the writer director for American Fiction. And his thing was like $200 million movies are awesome and fun. And we love going to see them, but you know, you can make 20 movies with that budget. You know what I mean? And they can still be awesome and enjoyable. Right. And you can have fresh new ideas, not original IPs and stuff. Like, I love that Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey was a twisted turn original idea on this beloved character. But
yeah,
this movie, man... Let me stop. I actually, this was like a dumb good time for me, okay? This was a stupid, dumb good time. And I thoroughly enjoyed it from start to finish, right? Like, I loved how cheesy Pooh and Piglet was. I loved that the 100 Acre Woods was basically like a sound stage, right? Like, it was very little. Hundred Acre Woods also had this house where these young 20-year-old girls were hanging out for the weekend in an earshot.
Right down the street.
It's right down the street, right? The big fight at the end where you think these girls are going to be saved, but all these guys, like, you know what I mean? Like, everything in this movie was cheesy, but fun. And I just, you're right. I just had a good time, man, from start to finish.
That's all it was. Yeah.
Like there wasn't bits in this movie where I was just like, ooh, that could have been better. That did that. Like, give me more of the cheese. Give me more of the disgusting horror gore. It was just like this weird idea that they made a movie about. Did it work? I mean, it made $5.2 million and it got greenlit for a sequel, which has already been made. That I'll watch the sequel as well. But at the same exact time, like, it was just dumb. It was dumb, but it was fun. Like, you know, we go see our Oppenheimers and our Tenets and our Inceptions and our, you know, really like highbrow, thought-provoking source code type movies, right? I love those. I love thinking, but like this one, just I couldn't. Like, you're right. I just could not stop watching this film.
Yeah, that I was as surprised as you are right now during my watch, as I was like, as I went from scene to scene, I'm like, okay, that was creepy. Okay, that was corny, but I kind of liked it.
But I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yes, like bring on the weird fun every single time, man.
That's too funny.
We might have to catch the sequel and drop it on the pod, man. I'm just saying, it's a franchise now.
Yeah, is that once we hit two, right?
I guess we got a franchise.
Let's go.
All right, man. So that's you know, the movie that is off top of head right now, other than our movie of the week. Nope. But
I actually caught Revenant over the weekend.
Okay, first time?
First time.
First time watching The Revenant. Leonardo DiCaprio as Hugh Glass, and you got Tom Hardy. You liked it.
Yeah, it was a great movie. It was a very interesting one of the ones you just kind of got to keep track of what's happening. But I mean, for me, sometimes those are hard, but the characters in here, the actors, just led you down that path very well.
Yeah.
And like I said, with Tom Hardy, he had a good, you know, he's been there, kind of, I feel like he's kind of the anchor through like a good portion of the movie, obviously, because you got Leo who's being taken care of for a little while. But yeah, I mean, the whole movie was really great, and just piece by piece and the way you kind of unfold this long story with all these kind of like little stories as you're going along was really fantastic.
It's like a revenge flick, man, is the vibe that I got from it, right?
Yeah.
And Leo kind of going on a thing. It was his first Oscar. His first Oscar win as best actor. So he had to eat a bear heart or whatever to go ahead and make it happen. But, hey, man, whatever it takes, bro. Whatever it takes.
Yeah. Yep.
So yep. I'm glad that you watched that. Did you watch Alex, the director, Alejandro, I can't pronounce his name, last name, but did you watch Birdman with Michael Keaton?
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay, I recommend you watch that next. That was his other movie. He won like Oscars back to back for The Revenant and Birdman. I think they were his back to back movies. I don't know if they were back to back years. But like, gotcha. Both of those movies kind of have that vibe. And the cool thing about Birdman it is like 1917, where it's like one singular take. So you know how like the first X amount of minutes within The Revenant was seems like one singular take. Birdman is the entire movie. It takes place at a play, like at a place like a theater in the backstage, front stage, dressing rooms like that. So really, really cool. Yeah, highly recommend, man.
Yeah, the open scene was nuts.
Yes. One of my favorites ever. He's like, yes. Hey, guys, switching gears here. We do have a little bit of movie news. If you drop that needle, Javi, I don't even know if it's a needle that you drop, but go ahead and drop it.
Needle drop, sir. Needle drop.
Appreciate that. Hey, guys, got some bad news here coming here from fans of the Sabrina show and then Gen V. Chance Perdomo dies at 27 in a motorcycle accident. Really, all of a sudden, man, we just finished watching. We just wrapped up the last season of Gen V, and then this is what happens here. So wild. So now there's obviously internet speculation about what happens next, his character on Gen V. And I'm sorry, I know you're about to say something, which like that kind of pisses me off about you know, people who do the exact same thing that me and you do in regards to talk about film, talk about TV, talk about stars, like they're these not real people and objects, right? Like this man died. This man had a family. Yeah. This man, you know, had stuff going on. He had projects lined up, right? He was really young in his career. And the only thing the internet cares about right now is like, who are they going to get to replace him on Gen V? Like,
yeah, no kidding.
Nobody cares about that right now, right? A life was taken, guys. And like, sad. Sad, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's some things that people only care about, you know, right? What's my next, what's going to come of this in my piece of entertainment?
That's all they care about, yeah.
Yeah. You watched Sabrina? Did you watch The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina?
I tried to catch it, man. It was a little too cornballish for me. So I didn't like watch all of it. But I hear it was actually like it was really critically acclaimed. Like people really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was I watched the whole series. It was a pretty good time. Obviously it's not like the original Sabrina show that was a little more kid friendly kind of thing. This was a little darker.
Okay.
But his character in there, he was fantastic, man. He played kind of a guy who was on probation, right?
Yeah.
For whatever he did, and I can't quite remember what that was, but so he's like always there, like in the house, right? So like anytime they're because he's confined to the house, so anytime there's like a house scene, he's just like sitting around
chilling.
But he always spoke and had like just a really great presence in his scenes.
Yeah man, like I feel like from what I know him from is Gen V, and I know we don't talk about that show often on this outside of like how much we enjoy the whole franchise of The Boys, Gen V, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because it is a little dark. It is a little heavy. It is a little violent and over-sexualized at times. You know, we do have kids who are driving to school with their parents, you know, all that stuff there. So, you know, while they're listening to our pod. Yeah. But I feel like his character was just starting to catch his stride within the show. Yeah. And his acting was just getting better as the seasons progressed. And you know, was definitely my favorite character on the show. was really digging him, enjoying his powers and everything, and how he kind of was the leader of the team, right? Of these Gen V young heroes, power soups or whatever. He was the leader, man. He carried himself well. Not that he, and like the way that he became the leader is like, you know, his boy, his best friend, who like committed suicide, was the quote unquote leader. But he kind of fell into that. And the fact that we saw him act as like not wanting to be the leader and then stepping into the role and then like embracing it, right? And that's where we kind of ended the season with him starting to like embrace his leadership role with trying to figure out what the hell is going on with this whole craziness that happens at this college.
Yeah.
That was great to watch, man. So, yeah. Chance Perdomo gone too soon.
Way too soon.
Rest in peace, man. Was really looking forward to more things, more projects for him. So, yeah. You know, it's always fun and games here on the pod, but we also like to, you know, talk about some real-world stuff as well, and this guy's gone too soon, team. Welcome to the episode of Movie in a Pod. I am Clyde Smith.
And I am Javier Villalobos.
In this episode, we are discussing the trailers for Unfrosted, Bad Boys Ride or Die, the third episode of X-Men 97, our movie of the week, Kong X Godzilla, the new Empire. I don't know, guys.
Perfect. Perfect.
I think it's actually Godzilla X Kong, and I wrote that down. But, like, Kong surely have top billing in this movie, but they gave it to Godzilla. So we'll talk about that here in a little bit, team. We got some trailers coming at you here. We got a movie written, directed, and starring Jerry Seinfeld called Unfrosted. And then Will Smith and Martin Lawrence team back up for the fourth time for Bad Boys Ride or Die. I wrote down day, but I meant die. I don't know what I was doing this afternoon when I was writing this, team. I'm sorry, but we do have a link tree in the show notes. And within that show notes, you can click that link tree that I just said. Kind of struggling today. I apologize, team. And yeah, we have some socials. YouTube, our full reactions. We have our TikTok-y, our Facebook, our Instagram. We even have threads. In a Twitter / X, guys. So just one X. No more X's. Just one. We got those, guys. Where we just ask that you go check them out, share, like, subscribe. The more likes and stuff, downloads and stuff that we get, views, the more great content we can keep pumping to you guys. So yeah, check us out. All right, team, jumping forward here, we are actually going to talk about X-Men 97 coming back at you, man, that third episode here. So going back a second, we have another Jean that kind of falls into Morph's arms at the end of episode two. Yeah. It was kind of the cliffhanger. And now in episode three, we're trying to figure out who's the real Jean, what is going on. Who's behind this? Where was this Jean at? There's a lot. There's a lot going on in this episode. And a lot of it is the sinister Mr. Sinister who's behind it all.
Yeah.
Who's, we come to find out, like, the reason why he's attacking the X-Men is he's trying to get Scott and Jean's kid. This was a different episode than the first two. You know, everything kind of took place in the house and then, you know, went out. Most of the episode was in the house. So yeah, like,
it was like a horror movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of took me out of the episode a little bit. Cause it was like, all right, there's so much stuff going on in the house. And it's like, the threat level was very low to me. Like, maybe to them it was kind of high, but for me it didn't seem that way. Yeah. But I did like it when they went after Mr. Sinister to go ahead and get Scott's kid. You know, when they kind of go out and do the damn thing.
Right.
That's where Storm... Not Storm. We see Storm at the end, but that's where like the X-Men are like really cool to me. And this show picks up, man. But what was your take?
Yeah, it was. Like I said, I agree. It was very different. Kind of got a haunted house episode, almost like a taking you out of the reality. Right, you're in a basically just a made up reality in this house where the things aren't necessarily real, but they are. You can get hurt, I guess. I don't really know. That didn't really flesh out. But we did get some cool scenes in the fighting, man. Like, and they just keep doing this. They're kind of power team ups.
Yeah.
Like the one with Scott and Bishop in this one. All those team ups just keep getting better and better every episode, it seems like.
Agreed.
But I mean, it fleshes the whole story out. Like the episode is like just one story in this one episode. You go from not knowing what's going on to basically completing the story for the most part at the end of
it. Yeah.
There's no real cliffhanger, it didn't seem like. So I'm curious, like, to where, if we're going to have anything else. I think we had the Storm thing kind of came back around. But what we're moving on to this week is what I'm curious about. And are we going to keep having, like, ongoing plots, or are we going to start doing this kind of story every week thing?
Yeah, so it looks like here we're getting 10 episodes, and every episode is kind of a bottled episode by itself. That's like this overarching, obviously, like mm-hmm. It's not like Seinfeld or something where they don't remember what happened in the previous episode, or they didn't learn from it. Right. Like everything keeps going. So that's good. But it looks like the next episode is called Montendo/Life Death-Part 1. And then we have episode 5 is going to be called Remember It. And then episode 6 is called Life Death Part 2. Then we got Bright Eyes, and then 8, 9, and 10 is called Tolerance is Extinction. So I'm guessing that's going to be the Omega Threat, which is going to be the big baddie is going to come for 8, 9, and 10. So
kind of
excited for that, man. It's just a fun show to watch, man. Like I didn't. Agreed. Think I was gonna enjoy it this much, but it's fun. 90s,
yeah, it's really one you can just sit and watch. Like it's fun to just watch it and really enjoy the moment while you're there. But yeah, I mean, this episode was fun in its own kind of weird, twisted way from the other two.
Yeah, like I never really understood like Mr. Sinister as a character itself, as far as like the, because he's very old, the extent of his powers is vast, so it's like different writers can't really pin it down as far as like what he is, what he's about, what his overarching goal is. As well, he was just a good villain to kind of he was a good villain of the week in a lot of these comics and in this show as well. But he never was somebody who was just like, ooh, like we have to stop this guy. It was like, all right, guys, we got Mr. Sinister again, right? For a guy with the name Mr. Sinister, you would think like he'd be this overarching character like a Magneto, like an Apocalypse or something, right? But no, it was like, all right, guys, let's take this idiot out again. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Guys, we'll throw episode 3. Fire Made Flesh from X97 on our socials. Let us know your thoughts. Are you still rocking with this series? What has been your favorite episode so far? And once again, who is your favorite X-Men on the show? Let us know, team. All right, brother, let's jump into this week's movie.
Sounds good, man.
We got Godzilla X Kong, or Godzilla Cross Kong, Godzilla End Kong, Godzilla Times Kong. I don't know. I don't know what that X means. That's kind of my point here. Like, I don't know what they mean by that X, but it's Godzilla X Kong, the new empire. This movie was just dropped on March 29th here in the United States. This one's directed by Adam Wingard, written by Terry Rozier, Simon Barrett, and Jeremy Slatter.
You got a lot of empires lately, man. There's a lot of things going on across the world.
A lot of parallels. A lot of parallels here in this movie and the movie we watched last week there.
All right, we have a budget of $135 million. So far, we've grossed $194.8 million.
Let's go.
Starting this, I'm going to give you our top four here. We got Rebecca Hall as Dr. Eileen Andrews, Brian Tyree Henry as Bernie Haynes, Dan Stevens as Trapper, and Kaylee Hodel as Jaya.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go ahead and give us that quick synopsis, man, so we can jump into these characters.
Yeah, so we got Supercharged Godzilla and Cyborg Kong. they team up to keep a ruthless Scar King from taking over the surface world, and using the Titan Shimo that is under his command to cover the Earth in another ice age.
Yes, sir. So we got back-to-back weeks where the big baddie is trying to freeze the world, right?
Empires, man. Everybody's empires. Trying to... Frozen empires. All of
frozen
them.
Frozen empires. What are we trying to do here?
You know what? That, I didn't even think about that. It was everybody trying to freeze over the world.
Trying to freeze over the world, man. We got empire as in the name. So I feel like... I feel like it's like Hollywood and it's like L.A. and shit. And even though Hollywood is big and the studios have like are nowhere near each other as far as like Columbia and Warner Brothers, I feel like they'd be copying off each other's tests sometimes, though, man. You know what I mean? Like
100%. 100%.
This is my test. No, this is my test, bro. So is what it is, man. But it is so often that we do see like similar movies with like – similar plots, and just very interesting to definitely see there. Let's start at the top here with the human cast. Then we'll talk about our Titan and Ape cast, and then we'll go from there, man. We got Rebecca Hall as Dr. Eileen Andrews, and she has a bigger role in here. She's still like the doctor who's head over like the Kong project or whatever, and making sure that whatever's going on in the upside down place, that's not called that. Middle Earth?
Now we're just doing this on purpose now.
Middle Earth? Is that what it's called? Nope. That's Lord of the Rings, damn it. Okay, yeah. I'm going to just say Hollow Earth. There we go.
There it is.
Yeah, so she like protects Kong and not really protects him, but like monitors him and helps like mapping what's going on within the Hollow Earth and everything. She's having troubles with her adopted kid, Jaya, just trying to get adjusted to normal life. Jaya's in school. You know, Dr. Eileen Andrews is a mom who cares. She's trying to juggle the threat of Godzilla, basically doing whatever the hell he wants to do. Kong kind of getting older and helping out, and then this kid. So she's juggling a lot. And we got like, you know, this is a monster movie, but from what we got from her is like, she doesn't really know how to handle everything, right? Like she got Kong, she knows how to talk to people about like what Godzilla is doing, but she really does not know how to be a actual mom to Jaya. And that's the vibe that we kind of see from her. she gets caught into the Hollow Earth and the war that's happening between this indigenous people of the Hollow Earth and then these reckless apes who want to take over the world. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. The Iwi, yes. Moving forward here, we do have old Bernie Hayes, Brian Tyree Henry, returning from Saving the Earth, Saving the World in Godzilla versus Kong. Talk to me, man.
Yeah, I think he's a... He wouldn't be, like, the first person I would think is, like, going to be coming back for this movie.
Yeah.
Because he just... It's a little random. I mean, he worked out, like, his story that they built in for him was great as far as, like, what he's there for, why he was allowed on the plane and in the Hollow Earth. It's whatever. Things are a little loose. That's all I'm gonna say. Security's a little loose around that facility.
who you give security?
Anybody ride?
Just let anybody get a damn security badge around here.
But I mean, he's the the comedy relief, right, for the whole movie.
Yeah.
The conspiracy theorist from previous movies, and he saw Mechagodzilla. He helped stop Mechagodzilla. So he has been basically drugged through the mud about him being a liar about all that. So his journey here is to prove that he actually had some involvement.
Yeah, definitely.
Is basically what he's after is some credit, some street cred on that.
Some street cred here. You remember Anthony Anderson in the first Transformers movie?
Yes, actually.
Yes, right? How his character in his side quest role fit into the overall of that movie. It fit. It made sense. Okay, you need this guy to do this thing. This is why he's in this movie, right? Made sense. That's what I thought about Bernie Hayes and Godzilla versus Kong. I was not expecting him to see him in the sequel. I did not want him in the sequel, but I am glad that he was in the sequel.
Because, yeah, it ended up working out pretty well.
Yeah, because he is funny, and even though this is a monster movie and this is about Kong, it's more of a story about Kong and what's going on in Hollow Earth. The human characters in this movie, at least the four of them, there's actually some good banter, some good connection. I enjoyed their conversations and bringing up this next person, Dan Stevens, man, as Trapper. Talk about charismatic. I was not expecting to enjoy Dan Stevens in this role as much as I did.
As the movie progressed for me with him, he started giving me Peter Quill vibes.
Right?
Is the first person, especially when he hops in the jet thing and just takes off.
Yeah.
And then he comes back. That's all I could see was a little Chris Pratt, Peter Quill action, which
doing
was
his thing, man.
Pretty awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Trapper is a veterinarian, but he is a vet for animals in the Hollow Earth.
Yeah. Weird vet. Weird vet.
Yeah. It's weird vet, right? kind of cool, kind of interesting in regards to what he gets to do. He's probably getting paid a lot of money to do what he does, but the best thing about him, man, was just that dope intro, right?
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
I was like, okay, I like this guy already, you know? Because yeah. I was like, ooh, Dan Stevens in this movie, you know, he's the guy who's typically like in a bunch of rom-coms and very serious movies and stuff, and oh, well, this guy's just having a good time.
He really was. Like, he was having a blast.
Like he saw the script and was like, deal, give me that Ace Ventura shirt, please. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing here.
Yeah, and I thought that too when I first saw him, and I love how it was pointed out later on. Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Everybody was thinking it.
Yeah, so he was fun. So he goes along with the ride with Rebecca, Eileen, Bernie, and then Jaya on into Middle Earth to kind of figure out Hollow Earth, and try to figure out
you get sued.
What is going on? Oh yeah, yeah, yep. Legolas is gonna bust in here and shoot me with a damn arrow in a second.
Just we getting arched up in there.
But then we got Eileen Andrews' adopted child, Jaya, and another kid actor that is really didn't need, but like her connection was ended up being important at the end in regards to getting like Mothra, but also connecting to the people and kind of leading the other human, the adults, to where she was getting this fissures in her head or something from. So, you know, those are the human cast. Let's go back up top, man. This is Godzilla X Kong, the new empire. This is a monster movie. This is about Godzilla and Kong. If we want to go ahead and first talk about Godzilla, just like where we left Godzilla off, man, in every one of these movies, that's what he does is he just goes around the earth and just whoops ass. That's his job.
Keeps everybody in check, man. Keeps everybody in check. Keeps
all the other Titans in check, right? And, like, he takes a back seat in this movie as far as, like, his character and what he's about. But it's almost like, and it was like that before, like, you know how he like senses things? Like that's been kind of the thing since the first movie back in 2014. Godzilla just senses when another Titan or another threat is around or on the planet where, okay, I gotta, this person's acting up. I gotta go put him in check now. You know what I mean? So,
gotta get a switch.
Right, we're like, his whole thing is like, all he's trying to do is like chill in the Coliseum and take a nap, but such then he has spot. To. It's such a good spot for him, but then he has to get up so he can get powered up, and that's like the majority of him in the movie. He's attacking all these like gamma stuff under the water or whatever that he needs to absorb. He drains like a power plant in France, like
destroying so much stuff. Destruction. Just so much destruction.
Oh, dude, he doesn't care. Hey,
what are they gonna do? Sue him?
hey, build me, right?
Yeah. He said, I'm gonna tear down all your buildings and then take a nap in your most precious historical monument here.
Yep. I know Russell Crowe fought here. I know. Yeah. I don't give a damn.
I don't care.
I'm going to sleep exactly where Russell Crowe caught an ass whooping, okay? That's basically what he did. And I love at the end of the movie, like, he went back there, too. He went back. Yeah, he's like, yep. Nap time, baby.
He fits perfectly in there.
But this movie really centered on Kong, and this was a Kong movie in regards to character development, in regards to the actual lead. We see Kong, he's kind of chilling in Hollow Earth doing his thing. You can just tell for a character who is not going to talk but is going to emote via face, emote during actions, you know he's lonely. He's very lonely. He's older. You see that like in his beard and everything. He's almost tired of like being the defender and having to like, you know, fight and kill. Like as he sets up all these, you can tell by because he sets up all these traps so he doesn't have to just go hand to hand combat every time.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, man. Apes are smart, bro. So, you know, you can tell that he's getting tired. He's getting older. Like This sucks, man. I don't want to have to do this shit for the rest of my life. Also, I'm the last of my kind, bro. Like, come on. right? And you can tell and feel that on him without him even saying it, just the way that he emotes, man. So we take his journey, and his journey goes from Hollow Earth to this uncharted territory, which off the top of my head, it does not ring a bell what it's called again.
It was just called like Subterranean Earth or something like that. Yeah.
Something real whack. But down here, he finds other apes that are trying to whip his ass, which he takes out. He finds this little baby ape that kind of is trying to get him killed
He had to put some hands on that baby ape.
I mean, he had to take the baby ape and whoop other apes with the baby ape. You know what I mean? That's some gangster shit right there, okay?
But man, I was like, what's gonna, you know, I was like, no, there ain't no way he's gonna like actually put hands on the ape, and he literally beat other apes with the baby ape.
That was awesome. That made me happy.
You act like a grown ape, you're gonna get treated like a grown ape, right? What they say.
That's exactly what they say. Couldn't have said it better myself, man. Oh shit!
Oh, wild movie. Wild.
It's just a wild ride, man. So gets in a fight with these other apes, and then we see Kong, and he goes to the Fortress of Solitude, I guess, for Scar, and he has all these people hostage. And all these apes working on his behalf. He also has this humongous ice dragon thing and basically puts an ass whooping on Kong.
Yeah.
Right? And that's kind of where, that's kind of like the outline of the story, where eventually Kong and Godzilla have to team up to kind of save the world in connection with Gaia and her powers and her connection to the Hollow Earth and people and everything, right? This is a lot going on here. But, like, outside of that, man, like, I do want to touch on, and I know we don't often, but I do want to touch on, like, the look and feel and the sound of this movie. You know, I actually went to go see this in 3D.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, like, typically, I don't like seeing movies in 3D because it's like bloated and like gimmicky.
Yeah.
But this added a really cool effect to the movie.
I don't have the eyes for it. I don't.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I can't handle that. My eyes don't work that well.
Yeah. I mean, I had to pop my contacts in, but I mean, I have saw 3D in these bad boys before. It's just really uncomfortable. But, like, I felt that I was in the Hollow Earth with Kong. I felt like I was on the battlefield with Godzilla, right? And even, like, when Bernie was freaking out, I was freaking out there with him. You know what I mean? Like, the 3D made it very immersive. And even watching it in 2D, that would have still been there, just the way that it felt. What was your experience?
When they're going through the portal for the first time?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot. That was very, very sensory overload with all the flashing and everything, you know. And you feel like I could imagine with that in 3D, but just sitting there watching it, you can really feel like your stomach turning. Like,
oh, yeah.
It makes you feel weird.
Yeah, man. But, like, it's just even the flying, the things that were flying, the rocks or whatever, I wasn't scared. I was in 3D, man. It felt really lived in, and nothing felt cheap. Mm-hmm. That's what I liked. Like, when the 3D seems when the 3D and the CGI seems cheap, I'm kind of out of it. This felt really good. Like, remember the most recent Transformers movie? Right, the battle at the end, how it almost felt like, oh yeah, Transformers versus these gray robots against this gray background fighting scene or whatever. Like, you didn't really know what was going on, who was who, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
This was very much in color, much alive, even when they were still in Hollow Earth, kind of floating around, all the way up to when they were in the surface in Rio. Everything felt rich to me, man. I think they had a lower budget than Transformers. Don't quote me on that right now, but I think they even had a lower budget, and they knew what they needed to do with it. So much appreciated there. So I don't know about you, man, but like, did you get superhero vibes from the music from the composer?
I mean, be honest with you, man, I was kind of immersed in the movie more than like really pay attention to the music, which I like when that happens, especially like you get into the heavy action. But I mean, that's basically what this was, right? I mean, you have big team up going after the bad guy, which we've been leading up to this point for been 3 movies up to this point?
Yeah. Yep.
So all that makes sense. You know, that's what I felt the whole time, was like superhero movie.
Yeah.
So the music, to me, I really didn't focus in on it, which is probably something I should do more of. But I get kind of, you know, if it's a good movie, I'm getting lost in the action, right?
Agreed. So the composer,
that's just kind of a background thing.
Yeah. So the composer, Tom Holkenberg, aka Junkie XL, he did Man of Steel, Batman vs Superman, Justice League, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, and Deadpool. So the heroic superhero vibes are felt throughout this entire film, man. Like, you know, almost like Godzilla kind of getting all purple back on his scales and everything. That was a superhero buildup. Kong getting all, what would you call it? Veronica?
Yeah, you dropped Veronica in there.
Yeah, I thought that was dope, man.
Yeah, it was really
cool. That was really crazy. Yeah, really added to this movie here. All right, brother. I do have a theme here. Real quick one. All right. I mean, it is a monster movie, so there's not much there, but I think the resounding theme throughout is family. Dr. Andrews and Jaya, Kong in his isolation, and then finding his ape family, and then like Jaya finding her like tribe, finally fitting in. So, you know, right. that's the resounding theme throughout the entire movie. And then even Godzilla, you know, even he just wants to go, like, leave me the hell alone and go to sleep.
Goodness.
All right, team, that's our conversation about 2024's Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. JV, give me your thoughts and ratings on this, man.
Yeah, this one's going to get 4 buckets of popcorn from me this week.
All right.
I really liked, like, in my opinion, like, this movie, even if there wasn't, like, all the ones before it, this one kind of could have been just set on its own. Because you get a lot of backstory, but you don't get, like, flashbacks, really. But where they start, like, Jaya's journey, you really don't need all that stuff, right? They tell a nice story through this whole thing of what she's going through. And then just with Kong and Godzilla, I mean, they're in a new storyline for this whole movie. So I enjoyed that part of it, that you didn't really have to see all those movies, right? You could just enjoy this all on its own. But like I said, I think that the one bucket that's missing for me is the fact that we just kind of saw this movie last week, but in Ghostbusters form, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if it would have been the reverse effect, you know, this one would have came out beforehand, but either way, I mean, it was right on the money, dude. I mean, the bad guy was locked away. He had to be unlocked, you know, if they wouldn't have found the ruins or whatever, then those apes may have never found a way out. I don't know. If she had never gone down there, Jaya had never gone down there, Kong would never, it's a whole thing, but it's just kind of the same thing again, and that's kind of the one bucket, but I did enjoy the movie regardless. I enjoyed the big battles. I enjoyed kind of getting a little weird, right? You got Godzilla going around absorbing all these crazy powers. Kong getting a robot arm. Just a lot of stuff. Mothra coming to save the day and bring Godzilla down. A lot of stuff happened that I really enjoyed seeing. But, like I said, that plot was done again.
Yeah. Agreed.
About you, man.
Yeah, dude. I'm right there with you. This gets 4 buckets of popcorn. This movie delivers everything I want in a spring summer popcorn flick. The action, the comedy, the thrills. I, for one, thought Kong was going to get his ass whooped more during that scene with Scar. So, there was that thrill, kind of chilling factor there where it's just like, oh, shit, there's really a threat here. Like, Kong's about to be out for the count, and maybe Godzilla has to come. Or, you know what I mean? Yeah. It didn't play out like that. It played out a different way. But the fact that was there, right? It seldom happens that we go to a movie and think like the title character is going to be in some jeopardy, right? I felt that with him, and I was actually like afraid for him because Scar did have his minions. Yeah. Scar did have this big ass Pokemon type thing that shoots ice. You know what I mean? Like he had a lot going for him, so. And there was a lot going on there. So, like, I that kept me in the movie, man, is Kong's journey. Because you just get, it's like he's like this big, lovable ape guy who just, you know, wants to be the protector of people and just do his thing, man. So, really enjoyed this movie. My favorite thing was kind of, is Godzilla taking that backseat? Because Godzilla is that Omega level threat. You know what I mean? Like, you throw Godzilla in there, it's a dub. Simple as that. Right? It's as simple as that. Godzilla is a dub. So the fact that he got to take a backseat and let kind of Kong do his thing, get his ass beat, have to team up and everything, I thoroughly enjoyed that. I also loved where Godzilla was like running after him in Cairo, and Kong was like, bro, no, let's go down. The threat's really downstairs, but they can't talk to each other because they're two animals of different species. Yeah. So it's like having the conversation that he really wants to have, he cannot have with this big ass, you know, dinosaur looking thing. So he's like, they result to one thing, whooping each other's ass. Right. So
I was super amused by the fighting when the gravity went away for a short period of time. And like, the amount of ninja that Godzilla was in that scene, like hopping around from stone to stone and fighting, was
beast, man.
Everybody in the theater was like, what is going on right now? And really all of them were jumping around and really showing a different level to, they were almost like human levels to the beast fighting.
I had no clue Godzilla had all that in him.
Man, so. Stretched out good before he went down there. I don't know how he didn't pull a hammy.
Thank you for subscribing to this episode, talking through Godzilla, X-Kong, the New Empire. Next week, we'll be discussing the Dave Patel-led and directed action flick, Monkey Man.
You can catch that in a theater near you.
Like always, I am Clyde D. Smith. You can find me across all socials. I am Clyde D. Smith.
I am Javier Villalobos. You can find me across all socials at Mr. J8200.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
Why is everybody trying to make it wintertime?
Mm-hmm.